time, not so much in real time, but within at least a day of you hearing this, Phil's been in the studio. In other words, he's back from all of the tape programming.
All right, Margaret, we know.
Well, no, you don't know. He's back from the tape programming.
And don't yell it.
I want to emphasize, first of all,
You're what? You're inching.
I'm in control here.
Sounds like you're losing control.
You know what? Here's Phil Hendry.
And I'm Bud Dickman.
No. Here's Phil Hendry.
So nobody else gets to announce themselves?
No, they don't.
Well, I want to say something.
Here's Phil Hendry.
You know, you yell, Ms. Gray. You sound like Phil.
You.
Grow up, will you?
I don't like being interrupted like that.
Welcome to the program, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Did you hear what I said?
I heard you, Margaret.
I'm trying to roll out a thought. What I'm doing at the beginning of the program...
Jesus, here we go.
Yeah, it's gonna be... Give me some coffee, will you?
All right.
Where is it? Sit down, please.
Just want to get some coffee.
Sit down. At the beginning of the program, I like to roll out a thought, a concept. Here he is contemporaneously, after having taken a few days off. I'm not saying you were dogging it, Phil. You were working, but simply saying to everyone, now here is Phil in a show that was recorded in this century.
Yay.
Thank you.
Margaret, I was, criticizing me for dogging it, or you're not dogging me for criticizing it, or whatever that is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Mumbles.
Mumbles? A minute ago, you guys were agreeing with me. Here we are.
Phil, he's throwing his hands up in frustration and going, oh, God, I don't get to have it my way.
Well, it was great. Mr. Henry's trying to kick this thing off, you know.
What happened to you, Grandpa? Your voice is all...
That's some phlegm in it.
I think we all need to kind of blow our noses here and wipe our asses because we're back here after a few days.
What, excuse me, wipe our what?
I don't mean you, Margaret.
Thank you.
All right, so the rest of us have to wipe our asses.
Yeah, because for the last few days, I have been involved in some other things, so we had to take some time off. May I say at the outset here that Mo Collins, one of our colleagues from F is for Family, has been nominated for an Emmy.
I heard about that. Absolutely outstanding.
Mo was nominated for her performances on F is for Family. So that was very, very exciting to hear about that today. And, you know, Mo has been on television doing animation.
She was on the program Mad TV.
Yeah, Mo was on Mad TV. She was on Parks and Recreation, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, I don't know the Parks and I don't know these shows you're talking about. I know a little bit of Mad, but the show that she got the nomination, what is that?
You got it for F is for Family.
F is for, that's the show you're on.
Yeah, that's the show I'm on.
Well, what about you?
Wait, but do you think that...
What do you mean, what about me?
Phil, let's quit pretending humility. You wanted an Emmy too, didn't you?
No, I didn't know the Emmy nominations were... Don't start, okay? Please.
Phil.
No, let's start. I didn't even know the Emmy nominations were coming out on Thursday, okay? So when the first I heard about it was Mike Price, who is our producer and our showrunner and our overall guru, said, and Maureen, Mo Collins got nominated for an Emmy. I'm like, God, that's fantastic. I was happy as hell. Everybody was. So let's not poison the water with a lot of jealousy stuff.
Yeah, it was great. Probably if you were there, you'd probably be, you know.
I'd stand up for myself. So what?
It's not a situation you stand up for yourself.
Well, look, Phil, I'm not petty. I'm simply saying, you know, Mo, I love Mo Collins. I think she deserves it. But what about you and the others? So, in other words, you sat there and took it?
What do you mean, sat there and took it?
You know, General...
No, hold on. When the other actors on that show were very happy for this young lady, that shows a level of class, it shows camaraderie, it shows unit cohesiveness. It is everything and more that we ask for when we send young men and women into battle. Now, I understand this is just a... What do you call it? What is it, Phil, a cartoon?
Yeah, animation.
What is animation?
Like a cartoon.
So it's a cartoon?
Yeah, sure, it's a cartoon.
All right. I understand that you don't want to... You don't have to, train young men and women who are in cartoons to to absorb the same kind of conditions that, for instance, an army regiment or division or even a platoon or a squad must encounter in battle. On the one hand, you have guys getting their guts blown out and their brains blown out. On the other hand, you have people going, bee, 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 bee. I don't know what the crap.
Well, I mean...
So you're making funny voices, right?
Hey, General, don't get this too far afield, okay?
What's wrong with you? I'm trying to tell you that you should be admired.
I know, you got guys getting shot up on a battlefield. This is an animation show. It's an animated show that we're all a part of. We're very, very happy for.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at you.
Yeah, I can see you staring at me.
So there's no jealousy?
No. Well, Margaret, you know what? If you run that show, that's what you do.
Yeah, Ms. Grant, why don't you speak for yourself?
Excuse me?
Yeah, speak for tell everybody how to do it.
Tell that butt not do it.
Margaret, you know, I know, I don't have to ask you. If you were on the show, you'd be all upset because you didn't get an Emmy nomination.
An Emmy nomination? Listen to that, General.
Yeah, I heard that. Phil, you went an Emmy nomination.
You guys are understanding what I'm saying, right?
You Hinnis?
Yeah, that's what it's how you say, Mr. Henry.
Do you understand what I said?
Yes, Phil, I understand. He's about to lose it.
All right, Phil, don't. But you know what, Margaret? He's right. You're sitting there making a big deal out of nothing, and you probably would have sat there and gone, ooh, why isn't everybody licking one cheek of my rear end, polishing it dry, and then licking the other?
How dare you?
Well, that's exactly what you'd be over there saying, I want one cheek licked, then polished dry while you get the other one ready for another set of tongues.
That's fantastic.
Is it really? Well, how about this?
Hey. Adios.
Almost killed him.
Never even hit me. Never even.
Fun.
I don't like some of the stuff the General says. All right, General, you should be taking my side. You understand the maturity and the deliberateness of my point of view.
Yeah, but sometimes it's just not right, Ms. Gray. You gotta be more charitable and Christian and all that.
Yeah, be more Christian.
Oh, be more Christian. As you know, I'm an atheist. I do not put down people's religions. I will not have anyone bring that God stuff in here. I don't believe in the magical sky, Dad. I'm Margaret Gray. What are you laughing at?
The magical sky, Dad. Welcome to the show, folks.
That's what we call it.
That's fine. Welcome to the show, folks. World famous Phil Henry show here. It is a Friday. Oh, God, thank you. And
it was the All-Star Game.
The All-Star Game was the other night. And I bring it up because it was an emotional moment for me. It came out of me, came out of nowhere. And Maria was standing there. I was watching the beginning. It was the beginning ceremonies. And it was, they were honoring Latin ball players. Some of the founding Latin ball players, I guess, some of the great Latin ball players over the last 50, it seemed like 50, 60 years. And I started to tear up a little bit.
Doug, you started crying, Mr. Henry?
Now, this is very interesting, Phil. You were crying, or did you just missed up, you know?
No, different than saying you missed it up. As well as crying.
All right, I missed it up. But I at one point I had a hard time talking because there in front of me, this was why I fell in love with baseball. These names that came out that I hadn't heard for a long time. I mean, I remember all kinds of players. I'm not just the Latin players. I don't want anybody getting upset with me because these days, you know.
All right, Phil, don't start down that road. God almighty.
But what I'm saying is this. When I saw these names and I saw these men, these old men come out on the field, telling you, I had a hard time vocalizing to Maria what I was feeling. I said, I can't believe I'm feeling this emotional.
Now, what was it that you saw?
Well, I mean, just the names. Luis Aparicio, Orlando Cepeda, Juan Marichal, Roberto Clemente, Tony Perez. These names were with me throughout my childhood on into my early adult years. And every name brought a memory to the point where it got really emotional for me. And especially Juan Marichal, General. I was telling you about that.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Marichal taking a bat to some guy's head. I don't know how emotional and misty-eyed I'd be about that. Other than the fact if I kicked his ass and then I thought back on kicking a guy's ass, I might tear up a little bit at how joyful it was. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty good, General.
No, I'm not saying that. When I saw Juan Marichal, and I remembered the big high kick that he had, he was a right-hander. They don't warm up like that anymore. Not warmer. They don't wind up like that.
Well, the pitchers today have refined their deliveries. So they don't need the big wind up.
What do you mean by wind up? What, you're just as if you're speaking to a lot of clowns and clods that don't understand baseball. Although I would like to say to anyone out there that doesn't understand baseball, I think intellectually you're superior. Given that...
Margaret, thank you very much.
I just wanted to know what you meant.
The wind up is when the pitcher goes into that wind up?
Yeah, you know, it's great when the guy goes, yeah, you know?
What in the name of Jesus on the cross?
No, Ms. Gray, talk about the windup.
You know when he kicks the leg up?
All right, let's pretend like I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, the windup in the 60s and beyond, earlier was a lot different. Some of it was very, very exaggerated. Some of it was a huge emotion. Sandy Koufax had a big windup.
Right there, there's the guy, Koufax. He had the big kick.
Yeah, Koufax. But Juan Marichal had an amazingly high. I mean, that leg came way up in the air. And I just remember him time and time again pitching against the Dodgers and kicking our asses. And, you know, you didn't like him. But when I saw him the other night, and he played for the Dodgers in the 70s. When the Giants let him go or when he was waived, I don't know what happened. He actually got on the Dodgers staff for a while. But what happened was a ball game in which Johnny Roseboro was catching. Sandy Koufax was on the mound. Juan Marichal was at the plate. You ever seen him throw at people, Margaret?
You mean the pitchers?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, Sandy Koufax would not throw at anybody. John Roseboro knew that. Throughout this game, Marichal had thrown at a few of the Dodgers. So Roseboro said to Koufax, I'm going to get the ball, and I'm going to throw it as close to this guy's nose when I throw it back to you as I can.
You're trying to... That I'm going to hit Juan Marichal as a catcher?
Well, not hit him.
Going to try and hit him.
So he's going to do this from the catching position.
Yeah. He said to Koufax, I'm going to throw it back, and I'm going to whiz it right by. That's exactly what he did. When he threw the ball back to Koufax, he whizzed it inches from Marichal's nose, and that's all it took. Marichal turned around with a bat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And swung this bat and hit Roseboro with the bat, and all hell broke loose. Both of the benches empty. Johnny Roseboro wound up with some kind of an injury to the head. Thank God, it was not serious enough to affect his playing career. But he did get hit pretty severely, and he began to bleed over one eye. And Willie Mays was in the one of the on deck circles, I think, and came over, was crying because Mays thought that Marichal had knocked John Roseboro's eye out of his head.
Well, it looked when you got blood coming off the face, you know, the head bleeds profusely. You bleed like a stuck hog. You ever see that, Margaret?
Would you mind, please?
Well, I'm telling you, you bleed like a stuck pig.
All right, General, but that was what was happening. And it was a hell of a mess. And Marichal, from that day forward, obviously became even more hated. But people didn't really know the story, I don't think, too much. That story that I relate to you was from John Roseboro's book. When I hear that story, now I understand what happened there. Koufax didn't throw at him. Roseboro threw the ball right by him and almost...
You know, you're going to have to fix that screen.
I noticed that. We got pixie dust on the screen again. I don't know what the hell is going on with the...
You know something, Phil? I think it's time for another... Trodcaster, or whatever you call that.
Tricaster.
Yeah, got another one.
Sure, yeah. I'll just grab another 40 Gs and drop it. If I'm going to buy another Tricaster, we'll get one of those little portable ones. So, anyway, thank you very much for paying attention to that.
No, it's a very good story, Phil. I just noticed you're getting the pixie dust. You wanted to...
Yeah. But that was... So I remember all these guys, and even more of them. Zoyo Versailles.
Who was that?
Zoyo Versailles. Versailles. Played for the...
Wait a minute. Was it the Twins? I remember the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah. He played shortstop for the Twins. Just one after the other, after the other, after the other. And it was really... It was something. And I could not believe that I got that emotional. Anyway, coming up on our program today here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we have Stephen Bozell teaching April Jr. a little bit of tennis. Steve reaching back to his old days in school when he played for Tennessee Chattanooga, played on the school tennis team. You know, we have Wimbledon happening right now, and they're going into the...
Now, who is the young man here from Thousand Oaks?
Oh, yeah, you told me about this kid, Sam... What is it, Query?
Sam Query.
Get out of there.
Sorry.
Come on, bud.
Wait, Phil, you hit your own hand. You didn't even hit him.
I know. I wanted to make it sound like I hit him. Did it hurt?
Yeah, real bad.
So I...
What is this man's name again?
Sam Q-U-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah, Sam Query. Sam Query. Something like that.
Well, which is it? Sam Query? Sam Query? Sam...
It's let's just call him Sam Query. But Sam is...
Well, you're talking about this guy like you're... Look at this guy, real old home week, huh? Well, Sam.
The guy's a local kid, General, okay? Comes from Thousand Oaks.
Oh, he does?
Yes. He's a local guy from Teo over here, over the hill, over the Caneo Hill, over the grade. And this cat defeated the number one player, Andy Murray. So he's into the semifinals today, suckas. Today, you know.
Well, is that going to be taped, or what are you doing with it?
I'm taping it.
So you don't want us to tell you what happened?
If you tell me who wins... I'll kill you, bud. And I don't care. I'll take my chances. I'll throw myself in the mercy of the court. I'll kill you.
Okay, God, man.
Phil, there's no need.
No, I'm just reinforcing. Tell me who wins that. You know, I will kill you. So he's going up against whoever the hell he's going up against. Then we have another semifinal. We have the men's final on Friday, or excuse me, on Sunday, and the women on Saturday. So it's kind of an interesting thing, you know.
Now, Maria, let's get the update on Maria. How's she doing?
She's doing fantastic. She's doing really good. I mean, it was 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, Tuesday, she had double hip replacement surgery. She's walking now. She can walk now without the walker.
So she doesn't have to have the walker. A lot of people know what the walker is.
Yeah, the walker's a thing. Generally, you see an old lady or old man with, and they're leaning on it, and they're just rolling around on it.
Well, yes, but it is an aid to anyone that has a difficult time in walking.
Right. But she doesn't need it all the time. In fact, she could walk, but she's got limited, you know, motion, mobility. She's going up and down stairs. Fantastic. Went up and down the stairs today without the aid of crutches or a walk. I'm telling you, this is it's amazing surgery that people can have both of their hips replaced and be walking around. But it still is not any kind of an experience that I want to go through.
Yeah, I was about to say, because you've been going on and on and on about, hey, you know, she did this, that. Aren't we burning up?
Yeah, man, we got to get dorm in something.
All right, let me deal with that, okay?
I felt myself getting bored, and I didn't understand why, because I was, you know, I was interested, and suddenly this wave of boredom crashed over me as you were, I forget, either you or Margaret were talking, and I suddenly went from, yeah, and then it was like, oh, God, when will it end?
All right, General, I get it. Thank you very much for that, General.
No, but can I just ask one more question?
No, you may not. No, the wave of boredom, the wave of boredom that just hit you, you'll now be relieved of.
Oh, no, seriously, I really want to ask a question.
I'm sorry. I'm not...
Oh, Phil.
All right, so what's your question?
Now I forgot.
No, I know what it was. You were going to ask about Maria, and she had double hip replacement surgery, and she's walking on crutches, and... I know what it is.
So, I don't know what it is.
You forgot.
Yeah.
Good.
Good, huh?
Yeah, good. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I got to find out what the traffic is. I will find out what the traffic is. I must find out what the traffic is. Here's the traffic.
Phil Henry Show traffic.
All right, go right to Upper Amtrak Freeway with the 405 this morning. We're going to be taking some time to get the candles in and get the candles in going down. If you come back to 405 and 6, I've been told they're going to be taking a lot of time out there to grab the hands. Yeah, put his hand around the fence to find out about that. Over there on the 93 way, going to the Riverside area, going over the grade. There's a Houndtown band with it. If you don't do it, don't hang me up, baby. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You're going to hang me. I'm going to hang you up the band. Let's go to Boyd Skydaddy Sweet Hand.
Hello, Mom. I'm kind of flipping your leg. You sound like some kind of a jack ball.
Not gonna be.
You're talking to you. Always put your hand down your pants, man.
You're talking about that? About my hand down my pants? Why, you still...
Fucking prick!
Dirty little... Yeah!
Bob Bacon and Skyboy.
They bit the wiener.
Have you ever said this? What's that smell? And you find out your home's burning to the ground. Hi, Guy Betabaker for The Little Nozzle. The Little Nozzle hooks up to anything that squirts fluid.
Your penis?
Or a phone, or a hose, okay, or a faucet, or anything that releases water. So yes, the first thing I said, hook it up, and it immediately turns even a small little trickle of water into thousands of pounds of pressure and will put out any fire, even a forest fire, from 100 yards off. The Little Nozzle does that, and so very much more. The Little Nozzle, available now from Clavco. The Little Nozzle, only $9.99 on $9.99. Go to your nearest Clavco store. The Little Nozzle. I use the Little Nozzle a lot at home and on the go, and it'll put out flame after flame, fire after fire. One time, we're a little bored. Okay.
The Little Nozzle's helped us. My son set a forest fire on purpose, although he did have the cover of the fact that we were picnicking. So I took the Little Nozzle out, and I attached it to my husband's
finish,
and I said, go ahead and just try to rip one off there, Chad. He did, and it became Niagara Falls.
Little Nozzle, available now from Clavco. Welcome back to Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show is really the best way to enjoy our show, our website, The World of Phil Henry. We have thousands, tens of thousands of hours, I'm not kidding you, of content. Coming up this month, we are going to have our Miami tapes in place, finally. That is the Miami years we will have on the website available to you. And so very much more, man, including our Friday night chat. We have our live streaming show on Saturday or Sunday nights. We're going to make that a daily.
When is that going to happen?
I got to coordinate some things with Shane, but it should happen soon. And it, just everything that we have on our website, we have a lot of historical documents. We have old old video casts that we've done. We have a lot of press, a lot of the TV pilots that we've been in, that just everything, including the archives, including the podcasts, and just the history of the Phil Henry Show, many different generations of it. The way to enjoy it, the most, I think, the most beneficial way, the more direct way.
Yes, just get yourself a subscription of 1 month. Excuse me, don't mind me moving this along to you.
No, go ahead.
All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, it's kind of rude.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the subscription's 1 month, or you can get a one-year subscription to the Phil Henry Show. Just go to philhenryshow.com and grab your... Tear one off.
Tear one off? How vulgar.
Ouch.
Get yourself a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This.
Stephen Bozell is on the line with us. And I'll tell you, this was for me, it was going to be exciting to talk to Steve because I didn't know this about Stephen, but he is a tennis player.
Yeah, Mr. Bozell has played tennis in college and also coaches his daughter's team at C.K. Corona Middle School, and that's where they play. For the school team and everything.
Does he coach his daughter? Or he coaches the whole team?
No, he coaches his daughter, but he also works with the team. He doesn't coach the team.
Now, Steve is out at CK Corona at the courts out there. We're going to talk with him about the Wimbledon. Not the Wimbledon. I guess I sound a little bit, Steve, like a rookie, huh?
That's all right, Mr. Henry. I mean, the Wimbledon. I think everybody understands that it is a tennis tournament. I don't think you have to be a big tennis fan to know that Wimbledon is one of the most exciting things that's ever happened to me. And I see that because I love tennis, and I don't play a lot of tennis. I'm in the construction game, and a lot of times if you play tennis and you play construction, and people think you've played.
You know, I worked in construction, too, and I knew a lot of guys that were tennis fans. I don't think there's anything... what do you think? It's too sissy?
No, not about sissy, but I think it's...
Well, a lot of people think it's upper crust.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people think you have to be rich to play. And I can tell you, I didn't come from a rich family, but... You know, I hope to be someday to be a rich family, you know. My kids have come from a rich family, but I didn't come from a rich family, and I like to play tennis.
Where did you start playing tennis?
I started on local playgrounds where I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I started in some of the schools, and I went to middle school, and I went on to high school and played on tennis teams in college.
Now, where you are right now is on the courts there at CK Corona?
Yeah, there's a team is practicing, and I've got my daughter here, April Jr., and what I want to do is demonstrate service, that is. I think they're going to stop pretty soon here. I want to demonstrate service, and I want to show, to the closest that I possibly can and to the very best of my ability, show how to serve the ball properly and the kind of exertion and the kind of effort you need to put into to do it, you know. Because I tell you something, Phil, I don't know a lot of people... are willing to do the work that it takes to be a great tennis player. I know that my daughter April is. Would you like to be, honey, would you like to play professional tennis someday, or is it just, you don't care?
Not really.
So why do you play tennis?
I don't know.
You know that Daddy would love to see you play professional tennis someday.
Yeah.
Anyway, Phil, so that's... my daughter April, such as she is.
The child isn't really sure.
I know you do not know. So such as she is, there she is.
You know, I don't think that's very nice of you, Steve.
Well, I don't mean to be cruel, honey. But that's my daughter April, so good luck to me.
All right, Steve, you've put your daughter down enough.
She's not even here. She went off to get a drink of water. Don't drink out of the fountain, because people have lipped it. People lip the fountain, drink out of the watered bottle that I brought. All right, now come back over here, honey, because I want to demonstrate, Phil, the service.
You know, the reason why I asked you to come on here and talk to us about this, especially the service, is I noticed the exertion that is put into the serving of a tennis ball watching Wimbledon, and it's very interesting to see just how intense the players are and... how much effort they put into the swinging of a racket, you know?
Yeah, and I heard you belch there. You okay?
Yes, I'm fine. I didn't belch.
All right, no, but I heard you keep the gas down. Now, the reason why I'm bringing that up, Phil, is if you're keeping gas down in tennis, that's bad. Anything you do to restrain yourself. All right, now, April, I'm going to demonstrate just exactly what you're talking about, Phil. When you do a tennis serve, you want to put everything into it. And what this does is two things. You're putting all of your physical strength into it, and you're also kind of scaring your opponent a little bit, because when you put everything you got into a tennis serve, your opponent is going to go, oh, man, I don't want no piece of him, you know.
So this is almost like a war cry of some kind.
Yeah. The first person to really be vocal on a tennis court during the service was Tracy Austin. And then down through the years, great Monica Seles was very good at it. You know, Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, a lot of them exerted.
Is there a word for when you hear a tennis player hitting the ball and kind of screaming?
Well, it's just called, going for it. I'm gonna serve one. I'll show you what I mean. Shit! I missed the ball. Hold on. No. Who did that? Honey, don't do it. My daughter just hit the ball. God damn it, honey! My daughter hit the ball. Scared the shit out of me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Okay, now she's going over to talk to Dorton.
We can't do the Dorton thing.
I don't have a phone on me. Oh, she's gonna call up and start breathing into a phone. Forget it.
Good thinking.
That's the way to think, Steve. All right, now give us an example, Steve, of you serving the ball.
I will. All right, you get up there. Yeah. See that one? I guess you didn't. Where are you, honey? So that was a service.
All right, now, what are you doing there anyway?
I'm giving the exertion that you're supposed to give it. I mean, I'm giving it. You got to give it all you got. Here's another one. Oh, God, I think I got a hurt.
You all right?
I'm sorry, Miss Gray, but I got it. One of my balls. It's my wife. What, honey? Yeah, honey. I'm on the radio on Phil Henry. I'm on the radio on Phil Henry. Hold on, I got to serve one more. April, hold on, honey. Phil, here's another one. Oh, that was perfect, because I screamed when I hit it.
Well, don't you know when to scream?
What do you mean, don't I know when? Hold on. Hey, honey. Yeah, here's April, too. Talk to your mother. So, what is that?
Don't you know when to scream? What do? You scream and then you hit the ball?
Yeah, I got it wrong. You're supposed to exert. You got to scream when you hit the ball, because that's when you're...
That's when the exertion of energy takes place.
Yes, that's exactly right. Here's another... Oh, look at that. So we have a clock on radar. We can track the speed of the ball as I hit the serve. That one was 81 miles an hour. Now watch this. I'm going to really lay into this. God. I'm going to really lay into it. Here we go. Shit. That was only 61 miles an hour.
61 miles an hour.
Well, shut up. I'd like to see you come out here and do it.
All right, bud, just be quiet.
Let's see. Well, how fast is it supposed to be?
I serve the ball regularly at over 100 miles an hour.
What do you mean you serve it? What do you mean?
That's what you... Huh?
General, it's tennis.
I do not. I'm not a fan of tennis.
It's when you hit the ball.
Yeah, it's called service.
Oh, all right. Okay, that's what you're... Okay. So what is with this screaming?
That's... I'm trying to tell everybody... God.
Take it easy, Steve.
Sorry. I'm trying to tell everyone in Phil's audience and my daughter who was here... Where are you going, honey? Okay, you can get the gummy bears, then come back. I'm trying to tell everyone in Phil's audience that it's very important to have that exertion. When you have that exertion, then you are, people know you're hitting the ball as hard as you can. Now here, I'm going to hit this ball as hard as I can, and you watch. We got a radar, like I said, the speedometer or whatever you want to call it, and that...
It tracks the speed of the ball.
Yes, sir. It tracks the speed of the ball. Here we go. One and two.
Yeah?
41 miles an hour.
Steve, you're going slower.
I know that.
Well, what seems to be the problem?
I'm giving it everything that I've got, and I'm giving it all that I can have, that I can possibly have to give it. So,
It's not a woman, it's a tennis ball, okay?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm giving it all that I got. Jesus.
Yeah, not talking about hunching somebody. You're talking about...
You filthy... Hey, wait, break it up.
You know, I don't need to be insulted like this.
I'm sorry, Steve, we didn't mean to do that. So, let's do another one.
Oh, okay, let's do another one. What do you? My daughter wants me to do. All right, I'll do another one if you want. But they're about to. You're going to start again. Here we go. Now I got the team out here. I don't feel too good about having the team out here. They're just going to look at me and just go. All right. So here I'm gonna just as hard as I possibly can. It's just, oh man, you just.
I know you're going to give it all you got and then some.
Yeah, I am, General. And stand back, okay. Hey, Jody, check that radar gun, because that thing may be way off, too.
Come on, Daddy.
I'm coming on. I'm here to teach you tennis, April Jr. You stand right here. All right, here we go. Watch this. This is going to be well over 100 miles an hour. What? 31. 31 miles an hour?
Yeah.
You're a lion.
Oh, I swear to God.
What is going on with you, Bozell?
I'm hitting the ball as hard as I can. Let me try one more time. Here we go. Yeah! 58. Fuck.
Hey, Steve.
Sorry. Obviously, we need to have the thing recalibrated. Mr. Henry, I don't think that the thing is doing... It's not doing the thing that it's supposed to be doing. And I apologize for that. But anyway, if you do it the way you do it and get it going... Here comes the kids out here now. Hey, Bobby, you going to start them in again? All right. If you do it the way that I'm teaching you to do it, give it all that you got, and then some, and Jack, you will never, ever believe the thing. Watch this. Here we go. Here we go. Fuck. I don't know. So that's I want to give my daughter another tennis lesson here, Phil, and call it a day. Steve Bozell reporting here from CK Corona. Let me try this one more time, Phil.
Look, Bozell, you've already been an ass of yourself.
Hey, brother.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right, I'm going to try one more time here. I got my special racket. I've got a Jack Kramer racket. It's old school, but I love it so very deeply. Here we go. Fuck.
31.
31 miles an hour? 31 miles an hour. Okay, so anyway, Phil, there you have it here from CK Corona Middle School. I'm Steve Bozell. I just got hit with a ball. Thanks a lot, Bill. I just got hit with a ball in the ass.
All right, Steve, thanks.
I got hit in the ass with a ball.
Steve Bozell, ladies and gentlemen, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. And boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh.
What a rotten tennis player he is.
And we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm Margaret Gray. This is Margaret Gray, and my new holiday songbook is out for the 4th of July and beyond. This summer sensation is perfect for sing-alongs, for sitting around the campfire, around the picnic table, and enjoying some of the great patriotic songs. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Fill in the words, you don't have to know the real ones. You see, I adhere to improvisational lyrics. I believe that as the song moves you, so thusly should the lyrics then flow from you. Here's another one. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee doodle doodle doo, doodle doodle doo, and the D-D-D, born on the 4th of July, boo. All kinds of wonderful patriotic hits, such as this one. Oh, Yankee doodle went to town, doodle doo 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 doo. Who knows the words of that song? I don't. Here's another great 4th of July and Labor Day special. Doo 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 doo. Or this favorite, America, America. La-da-dee-dee-dee-doo-doo. Or this one that no one could ever forget the lyrics to. Oh, say, can you see by the light up in the dawn and the rocket's red glare and the bursting, blasting shells and the buildings blown up and the stuff and the thing.
The Margaret Gray Patriotic Songbook, available now at the Burlington stores. Or you can write, send $5.27 to Margaret Gray Songbook, Jack Perry's house. I'll take the money, but I won't sell you the... I'm only joking.
Get out of here, will you?
Ow.
Send $5... Not $5. Send $15. How much do you think it's worth? Send $20 to Margaret Gray's songbook in care of the Phil Henry Show. No such songbook exists. Please don't send us any money.
The Margaret Gray Songbook, a wonderful way to enjoy the summer of patriotic love and duty from
me, Margaret Gray. My eyes have seen the glory of the thing and the do, 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 do. Are we out?
All around the world.
I love this all around the world.
Jesus H. Christ, Margaret.
Would you tell him not to take the Lord's name?
And Margaret, a minute ago, you're an atheist.
Yeah, you're an atheist. Tell him about Sky Dad.
I don't believe in Sky Dad, but I still believe in treating people respectfully. I do. La-dee-dee. How about that, General?
You delight in torturing me. That's your business.
Jesus.
All right, folks. Thank you very much, C'est la vie. That was great. Dr. Ron Tarner joining us here on the Newsmaker line here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I want to talk to Dr. Tarner. I read an article, Dr. Tarner, today about the new Hyperloop, and I'm sure you've read about that, too. Have you got an impression on that?
Well, Phil, I hate to let you down. The Hyperloop is the latest in Stephen Hawking's fantasies and his little, we call it kind of playing with himself when he's not playing with himself.
All right, we don't need that, Ron.
Excuse me. But it's a bunch of dorks, excuse me for saying, in the desert, playing around with something I don't know.
Well, you sound bitter about it.
I'm not bitter, but there's valuable money that's needed for us to take the next step into outer space. I'm an astronomer, I'm an astrophysicist, and I don't want to be fooling around with someone's train set. Well, we need to go into space, Phil. And we need to colonize different planets. We need to travel and explore some of these stars, go into some of these nebulae, and so forth. And instead, Dr. Hawking, once again getting all of the funding, once again getting all of the accolades, once again getting all of the publicity as he rolls around on that weird little scooter of his. God.
I know, Ron, that you have a personal problem.
No, this is not personal. You're right. He's got some of these beautiful women. Excuse me, Margaret. Some of the far too beautiful for some guy with his head twisted and drinking out of a goddamn.
Watch the language.
Sorry.
You know, you guys get really wound out of shape. You guys, you scientists especially. And now you got this thing. Dr. Stephen Hawking is one of the most renowned men on Earth.
Oh, man, if I got to hear that again.
Well, he is. Do you deny it?
No, I do not deny it. I do not deny it. What I am saying is the following. While Dr. Stephen Hawking is playing... He's playing with it, with his little, Hyperloop. There's outer space.
Well, we know there's outer space, but this is practical in that it transports things.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Dr. Tarner, that there is transport, not only of people, but of freight.
Oh, is there of freight and people? You know...
All right, Dr. Tarner, just ease back.
What I'm saying is this.
Well, I don't need to be made fun of.
I'm sorry, Margaret. What I'm saying is this. Yes, it's good, it's important, it's no big deal. We can do this Hyperloop, and we can go all around really fast in our little tubes and on our little rocket sleds and go, woo! I'm talking on the radio right now, Bobby, don't bother me, okay? And that's what we can do. And Dr. Stephen Hawking can lead the march as he sits there with his head turned to one side while his eyes are looking straight ahead. It's like, I want to say to him, well, why don't you just look straight ahead? I go, oh, I'm sorry, you've got Lou Gehrig's disease.
I'm not going to have Dr. Hawking made fun of that way.
Do you mind repeating that?
You heard him. We're not going to be making fun of people that are infirmed or disabled that way.
Of all the years I've been coming on your show, Phil...
Well, Dr. Tarner...
No. Of all the years I've come on your show, I've never heard you talk to me like that.
Dr. Tarner, you deserve to be addressed that way.
Of all the years...
Well, you did!
So it's everybody against me, huh? That's one, you, all of you out there.
Dr. Tarner... The reason why I said that...
All of you out there?
No, I'm not against you.
Then I would appreciate an apology.
All right, I'm sorry for yelling at you, but I'm just saying...
That's good enough, thank you.
Okay, but I do want to follow up.
I don't want you to follow up.
He's got to follow up, Tarner, or you can hang up.
I can't hang up, that's the problem.
Right, and there's a reason for that. I'm going to get this point out. You don't have to be making fun of the guy looking one way and his eyes are staring straight ahead.
Well, it is a little weird... Here's a guy who's got some of the finest pieces of...
What's the language?
I'm sorry. He's got all these beautiful women. He sits curled up in a hover-round with a flavor straw staring one way, looking the other. You take a look at the guy's eyes. You don't know, is he looking at me or the wall?
Yeah.
Well, how is that fair, Phil, when we are going to go into outer space? Outer space.
I know all about outer space. I think outer space is fantastic. And we have been going into outer space, but we have this Hyperloop, which is going to solve a problem of transport here on Earth. Right now, jet fuel, the logistics involved in air travel, it's ridiculous, not to mention the threat of terror.
Well, what are you trying to tell me? Do you honestly believe you're going to put 300 people...
Said 300 people.
I know it. 300 people in some vacuum-sealed rocket sled and send them sailing off into God knows what, into oblivion. Into oblivion, Phil. As they sail in a vacuum tube, God knows how many miles, you just release them and you pray. That's what it's going to be.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have it tested out by then. That'll be safe for people.
Oh, sure, yeah. They test it out, make sure it's safe for people. Have you ever heard of a plane crash? Oh! I guess those happen, too.
There will no doubt be accidents. There will no doubt be... There's going to be a learning curve.
You know, Phil, I want to... Hold up.
The point I want to make here...
No, I want to... Hold up. Every time somebody knows that disaster looms, every time someone knows that it's only a matter of time before hundreds, if not thousands of people lose their lives, they say, there's going to be a learning curve. You know what I mean about... You know what I mean, right?
Hey, Turner, this is General Shaw. I know what you mean. Phil knows what you mean. And you want to know something? It's not going to send thousands of people to their death.
Oh, it won't? How big will those little rocket sled carts be?
Who knows, man? I mean, I doubt seriously that they're going to be big enough to put thousands of people on. They're going to be big enough to go 700 miles an hour.
There's no stopping and no... There's no...
Well, you're trying to say that we shouldn't do it then. Mankind has never gotten ahead that way. We've always pushed ahead, no matter how dangerous.
Listen, Robert and the rest of you, yes, we could push ahead no matter how dangerous. That's you and me and Margaret and everyone sitting here having ourselves a cocoa, and we'll go in the kitchen, get an apple, and maybe, a candied apple, and we watch thousands of people get sucked out of tubes. Do you want that?
What? You want to repeat that? I don't understand what that meant.
I'm saying...
Are you saying we're going to sit on our ass and entertain ourselves while people go to their deaths proving this?
Exactly. So as Robert talks about the people that it benefits, and that it'll benefit us, how do I know I'm not going to be one of the guys in that cart that gets sucked into a vacuum and God.
What's this whole thing with Hawking, by the way?
Phil, I'm not going to get into it.
All right, well, singled him out again.
Steve, everything that Stephen Hawking has learned, everything that Stephen Hawking has developed, everything that he has taught us, it all goes into some new invention. Every time I turn around, there's Hawking. Every time I turn around, I see one of Hawking's eyes looking at me and the other one wandering off to piece of ass.
I said to watch the language.
I'm very sorry.
All right, well, Ron, I hate to hear you in this position. I think it is not you at your best. I think that you are at your best when you're talking excitedly about something.
Phil, I would rather be on your program right now talking about the marvelous explorations that we're doing into space with the Hubble telescope, looking at the planets that we could colonize.
All right, tell us about the latest planet that you've been looking at.
The latest planet that... I'm talking to a guy over here.
Hey, Dr. Turner, it's a layman's question, yes, but it's a good question.
All right. What did you say again?
What's the latest planet you've been checking out?
The latest planet that we've been checking out? Jesus.
All right, Dr. Turner, don't be so condescending.
All right, the latest planet is a planet called L51. It is a mega-3 in the classification of planets. That means it can't support what we call very, very primitive life, but that would be nothing more more complex than boss or pod scum or something like that. Now, it is possible, because of the abundance of water, because of the richness of oxygen, and because of the rapid revolution, the rapid time that it takes for this planet to go around the sun and at the same time have its own moon's trajectory, we feel that it's possible that this scum, the pond scum or the moss, that's about as advanced as it is. It could have some intelligent life to it. So a civilization of basically algae, intelligent algae, and if you want to go further, you just say a science fiction, is it going to attack the planet Earth? I don't know. Yes, algae could build some rocket.
Wait. Intelligent algae, and now it's building spaceships.
Did you hear me just say that it's intelligent?
Well, how intelligent does algae get?
I don't know. We're going to find out. L-54 can teach us. That's what I'm saying.
Algae is something that floats in the ocean.
That's right. Yay. Finally got it.
You know, Dr. Tarner, if you don't stop it, I will go through the phone and then turn around and not go through the phone and come back, and you'll die from fright. Probably even soil yourself in the process.
Oh, man.
All right, so Dr. Tarner, on to the algae. This is intelligent algae.
It's possible, I'm saying, it's possible that there is algae floating in the oceans of L-54 that is so intelligent that it's going to get tired of being in the ocean. It's going to want to get on shore, get some cities built, get a rocket built, and get the fuck off.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Tarner.
Well, you guys are the ones.
So, Dr. Ron Tarner, losing his...
He's really out of his mind, I can tell you that.
Dr. Tarner, I love you, brother. You know, be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Vernon Dozier. You know, we were just talking about injuries in sports. As a coach, a high school football coach, you have to be very, very mindful of injury in sport. It was, I don't know, some 40 plus 50 years ago that Tony Conigliaro, prospectively great hitter for the Boston Red Sox, was hit by a pitch in a ball game against the California Angels. Tony Conigliaro had the cheekbone shattered. It was quite a devastating injury, and he was never really quite the same. I'm going to talk with Coach Vernon Dozier about that and other injuries coming up.
That sounds great. Jesus.
World famous Phil Hendry Show to El Pacifico in Southern California. Going to be right back about Coach Dozier, Dr. Dozier.
Coach Dozier.
Coach Dozier taking one off the face.
I bet he did, man. You guys watch it, please.
Hi, this is Milky Watson, and every Saturday we have the feature ace from Suck Ass Downs. Come on out with me, Milky Watson, and all of the crew as we watch 5 feature races from Suck Ass Downs. Starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I call all of the action. And, of course, I want you to get a hold of Milky's picks for the Suck Ass Downs 5 on Saturday. I like what I see, and I see what I like right here, Duffelbrow. And I love this horse here, Bagabones. I think these two cannot be beat. Put your money on them. If you lose, good luck finding me.
Milky Watson and the Suck Ass Downs on Saturday starting at 1 o'clock.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
Bob Flandana here for Swenson's Meats. I've been eating Swenson bologna, salami, ham, every meat that they have, beef tongue, calf's liver, even brains. That's right, calf's brains. I've been eating their meats for as long as I can remember, since I was way small. I weigh 600 pounds. No, it's not because of the meat that I eat. It's because of the bread, the buns, and they sell those too at Swenson's Meats. They've got those big, thick, weird-looking buns, square buns for square hamburgers. Also have the tunnel buns, all kinds of buns, including, well, Swenson's wife, old lady Dawson. Man, what an ass.
Don't you ever talk about my wife that.
Oh, hi. I'm Tukey Swenson. Come on into Swenson's Meats. You're going to love. Let me just say again. I am Bob Swenson.
I'm Tukey.
Swenson's Meats at the corner of 5th and LaGrange in Fernman.
You something. Is that business that Hall's going to get?
Yeah, those are local spots. That's not Podcast One.
You know what? If those people are actually paying you money, that's one of the great miracles in all of modern science.
All right, General. So you don't like the sponsors?
No, I love the sponsors. That's about the worst commercial I ever heard.
Thank you very much, General. Remember, shop at Swenson's Meats.
I know I will.
World famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. So as we mentioned, it's no real anniversary, but I was thinking about Tony Conigliaro. The baseball season has reached the... I don't think I've talked about baseball this much in years past.
I was going to say, I was telling General Shaw that this is unusual for Phil.
Why are you talking so much baseball?
It must be because I'm in this kind of nostalgic frame of mind. You know, I guess I'm in a kind of a nostalgic frame of mind. You get to a certain point in your life where you start looking back on how much certain things meant to you. And of course, as I said, when those guys came out onto the field in the All-Star game, all the Latin players, I started to literally tear up. Tony Conigliaro was a Boston Red Sox who took a pitch right off the cheek, the side of the face, and you can see pictures, look it up online. He had a black eye. That black eye that he had, and we have with us Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy,
in the Belmar gym. Coach, that black eye that Conigliaro had looked like it was never going to go away.
Well, Tony C. Took a pitch from the Angel pitcher. I think it was Jack Gibbani or Bill. I'm making these names up. I don't know. But it was a pitcher by the name of Sal Hababa. Let's call him that.
What do you mean you're making the name up?
I don't know the name of the pitcher.
Can we look it up, bud?
Yeah, look that up.
Well, why are you going to do that? It's going to make me look like the biggest ass on earth.
We would like to know the name. Do you know the name of the pitcher?
I know who the pitcher is. I can see him right now, and I just don't know his name. So let's just give him the name. Sookie Woo Woo Woo. I don't give a shit.
Oh, look it up.
Yeah, you do that.
Hey, man, we just want to find out what this cat's name is, okay?
Oh, yeah, let's find.
It was Jack Hamilton. Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
All right, so it's Jack Hamilton. Does it make it any better? Does it make it any less devastating to Tony C. that he got hit with that pitch? So the guy's name is what?
Jack Hamilton of the California Angels.
All right, but Tony Conigliaro was hit by a pitch on his left cheekbone and was carried off the field on a stretcher. He sustained a linear fracture of the left cheekbone and a dislocated jaw with severe damage to his left retina. The batting helmet he was wearing did not have the protective ear flap that has since become standard. I was not wearing a protective ear flap. On the day that I was hit by a pitch, Phil, I was playing for Occidental College, playing for the baseball team. And this is 1965. And I was just a 20-year-old young man trying to do the very best with what I could. And I was playing for Occidental College, 1975. And I was just, you know, just a punk kid. I was playing for Occidental College. I was a punk kid at 20 years of age. And I took a fastball. This was from Steve Slatterly. He's playing for El Monono. He's playing for El Molino College. And hit me so hard in the side of the head and the side of the face that my cheekbone shattered and I got a bruise, an immediate bruise that swelled out to about a half again the size of my head. So I had like a face and half my face was purple and was swollen out. So it looked like I had one and a half heads is what they said.
Good God.
Yeah. And but I did not want to come out of the game. I refused. I began to bleed from one of my eyes, and I began to bleed from one of my ears.
Well, why didn't they get you off the field?
You don't do that to Vernon Dozier. You don't see. And I was young, and I was stupid. I should have come off. You're right. But there was no way on God's earth I was going to give up on my team. We were down by one run. We needed the hits.
Now, let me get this straight again. This pitcher for El Molino College?
That's right.
What was his name?
I think it was Tom the Piper's son. I don't know, Phil. And you can't look him up. You're not going to find his name. So I can make up his name. I call him Tom the Piper's son. But he was...
Okay.
What?
Phil, you just went...
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
You don't know his name?
No, I don't know his name. So I call him Tom the Piper's son. I call him Stole a Pig and Away Around. It doesn't matter, Phil. What matters is he hit me with this pitch on the side of my face. My face turned purple, one half of my face turned purple, and then swelled out to about half the size of my head. So now I had my own face and then half of a purple mangled face. I had blood coming out of my ear. I had one eyeball that was the size of a grapefruit and the other on normal size. So you saw this one big bug eye staring at you. It was horrifying. But I found that the big bug eye was creeping out the pitchers on the other team. So I decided I'm going to stay in this game. Now, the coach wanted me out, the players wanted me out, the fans wanted me out. People couldn't stand looking at me. I said, no, I'm not coming out. I'm going to stay here. Keep me in the lineup.
Well, why did he just play anyway?
Hey, I'm Vernon Dozier. You know, those days, especially back then, no one tells me what to do. Even if I was some punk slob of 20, and the manager is a guy who's 65 and had actually managed in Major League Baseball.
Had he?
No, but if he had, I'm just telling you. So I went up to bat again, this time in the sixth inning, with one gigantic eye blinking. My face is purple. I'm telling you that the pitcher on the mound looked at me and just walked off. He said, I can't. And they tell me later he went into the dugout and said, I can't do it. And he just walked and kept on walking. Didn't get into a cab, nothing. He just kept walking in a baseball uniform off of the field, off of the campus, onto the streets, and that's it. And
they didn't see him again?
Oh, yeah, they saw him. They saw him in the locker room.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the way my face looked helped the team.
The way your face looked helped your team because they were too scared to pitch to you?
I got one big gigantic eye and a regular normal size eye. My head is the size of one and a half of my heads. Part of it's purple. My ear's bleeding.
How were you able to play? Because that sounds like such a devastating injury that you wouldn't be able to play.
By sheer will, Phil. By sheer will. By sheer willpower, I got up there. Let me tell you what sheer willpower is. You know where I am right now.
You're in the gym. Don't tell me. You're lifting weights and you're going to scream.
That's right. I heard Mr. Bozell, and he had the right idea, only he had the wrong approach to it. Bozell's got the right idea. He just doesn't have the physical strength. He's got little, skinny, limp-ass arms. He's probably got no chest at all, just a concave chest going, ew! Not me, not Vernon Dozier. Hey, get off the machine, Bob. Get off the machine. I'm going to show you what I got, Margaret. And maybe then you'll know.
I'm a married woman.
I know you're married. All right, here we go. I'm going to try this on the chest. One, two, three. I'm only kidding. Now,
quit screwing around, man. We don't have that much time.
I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, you have to have that.
All right, so you're up at this game. You've got a purple face. You got one big gigantic eye. Did you get any hits?
Yeah, I hit a home run. Oh, didn't think that, huh?
You hit the home run after you were injured.
No, I hit the home run before I was injured. But then because I had hit the home run, they weren't about to mess with me. And I got intentionally walked like three times with the gigantic one eye blinking. Oh, man, I wish there was photographs.
You mean there's no photographs? I ought to be able to find that somewhere.
There are no photographs that survive, and I wish personally there were. You know that young artist, Phil, that you know, Casey Kemp up there in Toronto?
Yeah.
Maybe Casey can draw a picture of my face with the gigantic eye.
Casey, you don't work for free, man. Don't you do that.
Well, come on, Phil. It's just for...
I'm not going to commission anybody to... a picture of you with your gigantic eye. Look, if there's no photographs, there's no photographs. I take your word for it. I believe it happened.
Yeah, I believe it happened too. But I also think that this team, this El Molino team, must have sucked every kind of monkey, sucked every rodent, every ground squirrel, certainly.
Oh, I see. So in other words, you could have put any guy up. You could have put a blind man up there. He would have got a hit.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
You know, this is the kind of cynicism.
Well, but there's the reason. There's nobody that's hurt as bad as you. It's gonna get any hits.
All right, so what is the point of the story here, though?
The point of the story, Phil, is that no matter how injured you are, you stay in the game, and you don't go tiptoeing out like some little Red Riding Hood. Now, I stood up there. I took a fastball right off the side of my face. My eyeball swelled up. My head, my face, everything's purple. My ears got, the one ear got to be about the size of a baseball glove. It got to be the size of a catcher's mitt. My other ear... the normal size.
So in other words, one half of your head was the size of a giant's face.
Not necessarily a giant's face, but maybe a Dodger's face. Shit.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Oh, it was.
All right, Vernon, thank you very much for that wonderful story. I'm not sure I know what we're supposed to take away from that.
What you take away from it is this. If you get a face ball off the fast... And
what do you mean if you get a fastball?
If you get a fastball off your face, okay, and that's all you get, brother, you've wasted your Friday night.
Vernon Dozier.
Thank you very much. That's the first time you've hung up on somebody. I think I fully agree.
Yeah, I agree with it too.
Yeah, I do too, Phil.
World famous fella. So thanks a lot, Vernon, for nothing, dude. And hopefully we won't be talking to you anytime soon. My eye was swollen to...
World famous Phil Henry Show to El Pacifico in Southern California.
Hey, don't forget, tonight we have our backstage pass chat, 9 o'clock Pacific. Join us. We want all of you new BSPs, all of you new signups, all of you new subscribers. Brother, come on over. You know, we want to know where you are, want to talk to you, want to hear your feelings, your thoughts, the thing, you know, the thing.